Well, we're excited to get into the Word this morning. Last week, Hannah teased that she had been assigned the text involving circumcision. Although Hannah's the one that divided up the Exodus series into sections for preaching, so really she can only blame herself. But now I feel like she's getting back at me because this week I was assigned 2.5 chapters of text. So we're at least even, I think, at this point. My title this morning is Choose Your Yoke, It's No Joke. I couldn't resist. Forgive me. But as silly and as cringeworthy as this title is, as I hope you'll see, it's actually deadly serious. For what I want to say or show today is that we all choose a yoke. And a yoke, as you see on the picture here, and it's on the front of your bulletin as well, a yoke is just a wooden frame joining two animals together to plow and to work, usually two oxen going through a field. And it functions metaphorically in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, describing one's subjection to another. And if you're yoked to someone or something, you're tied to that person, and if they are stronger, then they can presumably kind of steer and lead you in a direction by sheer force or will, or they could do it gently and lovingly and kindly, helping you in the right direction so you can work together. And so the point I want to make, which is something the Bible is emphatic about, as we'll see, is that we are all yoked to something or someone. So no yoke is not an option. We will either choose the yoke of slavery here in our text to Pharaoh and Egypt, or the yoke of service to God. So our text covers chapter 5, verse 1 through chapter 7, verse 13, and we'll summarize parts of the text some next week. But for our corporate reading, let's read what I think is the central part of this text, both in its content as well as just in its placement right in the middle of these chapters. And then we're going to kind of contrast it with the words of Jesus in Matthew 11. So would you just stand with me for the reading of the Word as a way to honor God's Word? There's Bibles at the back table if you ever need one or want to take one home with you. You're welcome to have it. Encourage you to bring your Bible, the physical text, with you if you're able. But Exodus chapter 6, verse 6 through 8, and you can keep your Bible there because we'll be in Exodus 5 through 7, and then I'll also read Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Exodus chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Therefore say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God, who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And I will bring you to the land that I swore with uplifted hand to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to you as a possession. I am the Lord. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Lord, this morning, we just want to draw close to your heart. We want to know your heart. Lord, we admit in this season of Lent that we are weak. We are so fragile, so prone to wander from your good heart, to choose the yoke of slavery rather than the yoke of service to you. And forgive us, Lord. Have mercy on us, and in your great love, would you draw us into your gentle and humble heart this morning, so that we might choose the way that leads to life. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So we're going to talk about two yokes this morning. The yoke of slavery, the hard heart sort of represented by Israel and Pharaoh, and then the yoke of service, the humble hearts depicted by Moses or portrayed by Moses and God. And then I want to lead us to a response. The question this text begs is, choose your yoke. So let's begin with the yoke of slavery, of hard hearts. If you remember at the end of last week, Moses and Aaron, they return to Egypt together. They get together the elders of Israel, and Aaron, now Moses' spokesperson, tells them everything the Lord has told Moses about his plan to deliver the Israelites from their yoke of bondage. And he even shows them signs and wonders. And initially, the Israelites at the end of chapter 4, they bow down and worship the Lord. But that initial enthusiasm doesn't last very long, for God does not always work and deliver exactly the way we want, which then quickly reveals the condition of our hearts. No doubt Moses and Aaron, I mean, after hearing what God told them and seeing the signs and wonders, they probably strut into Pharaoh's palace, brimming with confidence and faith, maybe, you know, imagining that Pharaoh just gets cut to the heart, dropping to his knees in reverence as he succumbs to the request of the God of Israel. So here they come in verse 1, and it says, afterward, after God did all this, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, let my people go so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness." And Moses and Aaron are likely waiting for God to just strike Pharaoh in the hearts and him to say, "Who am I to stand in the way of your God? Go for it." And so it had to be disappointing, even shocking, for them to hear Pharaoh's response. Pharaoh said, "Who's the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work." And then if you know the story, you can read it in the rest of chapter 5. Pharaoh decides the Israelites, they must just have too much time on their hands. That's the problem. They're daydreaming about leaving and worshiping their God. They're just being lazy. So he sends the order in verse 9 saying, "Make the work harder for the people so that they pay no attention to these lies." And so they're told to make the same quota of bricks, but now without straw, a seemingly impossible task, which they are then beaten for when they don't do. And the Israelites go and complain to Pharaoh, but he doesn't budge. So the Israelites' leaders, they go to Moses in verse 21, and they say, "May the Lord look on you and judge you. You have made us obnoxious to Pharaoh and his officials and have put a sword in their hand to kill us." So I want you to feel how quickly this all turns here. I mean, at the end of chapter 4, the Israelite elders respond to the message and plan of Moses and Aaron by bowing down and worship the Lord. They're like, "Moses, our new best friend, our deliverer, signs and wonders." And now here by the end of chapter 5, they're saying, "May the Lord judge you. Look what you've done." I mean, Moses had to be thinking, what just happened? Like, how in the world did this bulletproof plan that seemed to have God's backing, confirmed by miracles, go sideways so fast and so quickly? Have you ever had a moment like this? Have you ever been there before? You've just had an encounter with God. You feel he's shown you his heart, his plans for you. He's going to break the yoke of your current circumstance. You're brimming with courage and confidence in the Lord and his plans. And then you go to take the action step of obedience, and all hell breaks loose. Resistance meets you on every side, and you're like, "What just happened? I thought I was following the Lord's plan." Friends, deliverance is not always easy. It isn't always immediate. And God's promises do not always come to pass in the way or in the time frames we might have wanted or hoped. But the question is, how will we respond? When the deliverance or promises you're hoping for, perhaps even been promised by God, don't come right away, how will you react? With a hard heart or a humble heart of faith? And so I want to contrast the way the Israelites respond with the way Moses then responds. So the Israelites, still under the yoke of slavery, despite the promises they've received, the signs they already have seen and encounter with God they just had in chapter 4, at first chance, when something doesn't go the way they thought, what do? They complain and they blame. Two signs of a heart going hard, that we complain and we blame. They go and complain to Pharaoh, which seems reasonable, but then that doesn't go well, and what do? They go looking for someone to blame. When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them, and they said, "May the Lord look on you and judge you. You've made us obnoxious before Pharaoh." See, as soon as things didn't go how they envisioned, even after they had heard from God and encountered God, the Israelites hardened their hearts and they turned on Moses and Aaron. And they essentially say, "We prefer the yoke of slavery to Pharaoh than the harder work of service to Yahweh," which obviously is going to mess up the life we know, the status quo, our predictable life. See, when we're upset, when things aren't going the way we want, when the plans of God aren't unfolding the way we anticipated or are not clear, we often look for someone to blame. I don't know about you, but I'm a pretty sinful man. And man, do I see this pattern in my life as I read this text. I mean, when I'm overworked, when I'm confused about what God is doing or not doing, when his promises don't come immediately like I expected, I start looking for someone to blame. And when we do this, it's evidence then of our hardened hearts. Problems at home, it's our spouse's fault. Problems at work, it's our boss's fault. The Israelites say, "Look what's happening. Look how hard we're working now. We didn't know following the Lord would mean this. Surely someone is to blame. Moses, you should have just left us in the yoke of slavery the way we were." And of course, we'll see the Israelites aren't going to learn anytime soon how this works, for the same pattern is going to repeat itself. They're about to see 10 miraculous acts of God, the 10 plagues. And finally, Pharaoh is going to relent and not only send them off, but send them off with treasures as they plunder the Egyptians. But as we'll see in chapter 14, as soon as a trial comes and things aren't going smoothly, they're going to come to Moses in chapter 14, verses 11 and 12, and say, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt," alluding to where we're at in the text now, "leave us alone? Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the deserts." Translation, we prefer the yoke of slavery to Pharaoh than the yoke of service to Yahweh, which takes us out into the wilderness of the unknown. We don't have the patience for a God like that. So friends, we have a very serious choice to make. And as I'll explain in a second, no one can avoid this choice. Everyone has to make it, whether they realize it and articulate it or not. Will you choose the yoke of slavery to sin, fear, anxiety, despair, lust, materialism, personal fulfillment, idolatry, greed, success, bitterness, anger, complaining, addiction, all the things that can place their yoke upon us, that can steer and control our lives? And they're comfortable and they're familiar and they're sometimes even fun and feel good for a season, and we know what to expect and we know what they'll give us, but ultimately they are bondage and death. Will we choose the yoke of slavery or the yoke of service to God? Knowing that the yoke of service might take some faith, some obedience, some work, might be uncomfortable at times. We may even have to humble ourselves and let go of what we know and find familiar and even want for the greater good of God's plans and service to him. But I want you to see the large contrast here between the way Moses handles what had to be unexpected challenges and then how the Israelites handle them. So let's talk about the yoke of service of humble hearts. See, when things didn't go as planned, the Israelites go looking for someone to complain to and someone to blame. But Moses goes directly to the Lord for divine strength and insight. So in verses 22 and 23 of chapter 5, right after the Israelite leaders just condemn him and complain, it says, Moses returned to the Lord. And this was his knee-jerk reaction, his first move. He comes before the Lord. I mean, if we just did this, what a different world it would be. What if Israel had just done this? As soon as that temptation to complain or look to blame, before our thoughts spiral into sinful patterns, if we just returned to the Lord and shared our hearts with him. It says, Moses returned to the Lord and said, Why, Lord, have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble on this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. Moses just says, it's not unfolding the way I thought. But the mark of a humble heart, one yoked to the Lord, is that we keep returning to him. Even in the darkness, even in the disillusionment, even in the despair, again and again we come back. And Moses, he's brutally honest with God. But because he comes before God, he gives the Lord a chance to reveal his heart and show him what he's doing beyond the natural. To refocus Moses' heart, to strengthen and encourage him. And so if you read verses 1 through 8 of chapter 6, following Moses' prayer, and yes, I call it a prayer before God, the Lord reassures him of his plans, that he hears the groanings of his people. He will deliver them and bring them out from under the yoke of the Egyptians, for he is the Lord. As Exodus clearly reveals, I mean, Moses is far from perfect, right? Which is encouraging in a way, at least hopefully. I mean, we went over his five excuses, his unbelief, that he's going to make some more mistakes as Exodus goes on. But you know what? You have to give him credit in that he keeps coming back to the Lord. That as many times as he gets knocked down, all the complaints and blame directed at him, he keeps coming back to the Lord, and God considers him a friend because of it. In fact, the word says in Exodus 33:11 that he would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. And the Bible says in Numbers 12, verse 3, that Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. Was Moses perfect? Not even close. But he was a humble servant. And instead of giving up, saying, well, I might as well just serve the hardened heart of Pharaoh, he chooses instead the humble and yet risky and wild and unpredictable heart of God. So how will you react when circumstances don't go as you expected? And what will it reveal about your heart? Will you react with a hard heart of complaining or a humble heart of faith and trust? So in response or application to these two yokes, as I said, the question for us is, which yoke will you choose? We don't preach messages in a vacuum, just in our heads or through theological propositions. We preach in the presence of a living God and interact and respond to him in communion with the Holy Spirit. And so it's quite clear that the Lord wanted us to hear something this morning. So let me just tell you about the sequence of events that led me to kind of theming my remarks around yoke and ultimately towards the words of Jesus in Matthew 11 and the yoke imagery he uses. So Monday morning, at 6:32 a.m., an email came in, and it's from somebody who often has prophetic words for the church, somebody that we trust, that has a good history with that, not from within the church, from without the church. So 6:32 a.m., the email comes in Monday morning. says, I'm praying for you all. And I just feel the Lord is saying, come. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Take my yoke upon you, and I will give you rest. I am gentle and humble in heart, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. The words of Jesus from Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And so I look at it in the morning and I kind of receive it. And, you know, this might be for me, whatever. So I get here around 9 a.m. and I go into the prayer room, which I often do first thing in the morning. And I turn on the live stream, 24/7 International House of Prayer, which I often just kind of use as I pray in the backgrounds. And within a couple minutes of being in the prayer room, they start to spontaneously sing and pray Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I am gentle and humble in heart. So at this point, I'm like, all right, Lord, now you have my attention. I got an email, I got the song. You know, I haven't even started my day. So I spend a little time in the prayer room. I'm praying through this. I'm thinking through this. And I'm just kind of giving the Lord access to it. Finish up the prayer time. I go over into our office, and I open up the email. At 9:14 a.m., an email came in from Sue Beatty, our prayer coordinator, just kind of talking to our Tuesday prayer team, which she always does, just saying, hey, just making sure everybody's going to be there, whatever. And they choose a text each week to kind of meditate on. And Sue said, I feel the Lord directing me to Matthew 11, verses 20 through 30. And then she said, but this might just be for me, but if you think it's for our team, then go for it. I'm kind of thinking, nope, Sue, not just for you. Definitely not. Three times, within 3 hours, the Lord spoke Matthew 11, 28 to 30. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Isn't that just humbling? That the God of the universe would take time to know where we're at in our Exodus series, to care about it, all the things he's got going on, and to lead us to this place. Three times in less than 3 hours. But here's the thing, I still didn't really know what to do with it because I hadn't opened up the text yet for the week. So I'm just kind of like, the Lord has my attention. So then the next thing I do is I open up the text for the week. I'm thinking 2.5 chapters, Lord, what do I focus on? That's a lot of material. And I come to chapter 6. Twice I read in there in 3 verses, I'm going to bring you out of the yoke of the Egyptians, and I'm going to lead you to a new place, a new land, essentially under a new yoke, a yoke of service to me. And so I was just thought, okay, I know what I'm preaching on. That was easy. Yeah. So, I mean, the Lord was just obviously leading us in this direction. So here's what I believe the Lord wants to challenge us with. God has set us free from the yoke of slavery to sin if we've accepted Jesus' work on the cross. But it's not so that we can serve nobody. And certainly not so that we can serve ourselves and our own dreams and ambitions. We've been rescued and set free so that we might serve God. We are freed from one master's sin so that we might serve another better master, God. One offers slavish obedience to a hard heart and the other joyful obedience to a humble heart. One yoke is heavy and one yoke is light. But service to nobody is not an option. In other words, no yoke is not an option for anybody. Nobody is free in that sense. We will all be yoked to something or someone, something that will steer and direct our lives. But I believe God's saying, leave the yoke of slavery. But don't then just wander off by yourself. Instead, take my yoke upon you. But I'm not like Pharaoh. I'm not a hard taskmaster. My yoke is easy. My burden is light, for unlike Pharaoh, I am gentle and humble in heart. I am a friend. And this is the pattern in Exodus. God does not free the Israelites from the yoke of slavery into nothing. That's not freedom. He delivers them from slavery to Pharaoh to service to God, so that they may worship him in a new land as his people, carrying out his purposes. That's the freedom God is after and what he's after. He's delivering them from slavish obedience under the yoke of Pharaoh to a joyful obedience under the yoke of Yahweh, and ultimately for us, the yoke of Jesus. That's why Paul says in Romans 6, we're all slaves to someone or something. We're either slaves to sin or slaves to obedience to God, which leads to righteousness. That's why Joshua says later, as they enter the promised land, choose this day whom you will serve. Because he knew they were going to serve someone or something. And it was a question of, who will you serve? So as the band comes up to help us respond, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 4, after tons of allusions to Exodus, quotes a psalm of David. And he says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Church, I believe we have heard his voice today. I believe God clearly spoke on Monday morning. He knew where we were in the text, and he told us what to focus on. And I don't know all the reasons why, as always. I'm not smart enough to know what everyone is dealing with or what the Lord might be speaking to you about. So I'm just going to invite the Holy Spirit, who knows a lot better, to come. And so would you just close your eyes with me for a second? And this is your and our moment with God, if you want to enter into it. Whatever yoke you're wrestling with, would you allow the Lord to take it off? But here's the thing about this morning. Here's where I think the Lord made the connection with the Matthew 11, is we might have stopped there. But I believe the Lord's saying this morning, don't stop there. Don't just leave the yoke of slavery. That will just leave you in the wilderness, perhaps complaining and blaming and ultimately back into the yoke of slavery. Rather, replace that yoke of sin with the yoke of Jesus. Because his yoke is easy and his burden is light, and he is gentle and humble in heart, and he is good. Why is his yoke easy? Why is his burden light? Because it's not dependent on your performance. It's just dependent on resting in and receiving his great love for you that he showed through the cross, where he paid the price for your sin, so that like Moses, you can come face to face with God and speak to him as a friend. And there's just nothing more beautiful in this world than a humble, broken heart surrendered to the yoke of Jesus, surrendered to his love. So I'm just saying this morning, Lord, I want to be in that yoke. I'm tired of being led by other things. It's not really that fun. I'm tired of the yoke of despair. Tired of the yoke of anxiety. Tired of the yoke of other masters that seek to control. Lord, I just want to rest in you. Because you're the only good thing that I know. Why would I want someone else steering the yoke? But that doesn't mean it's easy. Like the Israelites, we still got to leave that yoke. We got to have faith and trust. Even though our circumstances look difficult before us, God's plans aren't unfolding the way we maybe want. But Jesus is saying, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. I will give you rest for your souls. So I never want to be the Holy Spirit. I just want to be used by the Holy Spirit. So I don't want to tell you directly how to respond, but I know that our actions and our bodies are important. So it may be that you want to just demonstrate before the Lord, I'm leaving that yoke of slavery to sin and bondage, whatever it might be, whether it's small or big, I'm going to leave that behind me and I'm going to take on the yoke of Jesus. And if you want to do that by literally just leaving your seats as a demonstration before the Lord, because he knows how to interpret our actions, and coming down to the altar and just putting on the yoke of Jesus. But I just want to say, come Holy Spirit. Show us where you're leading us. Work in our hearts individually and corporately as we seek you. So over the next couple minutes, we're going to close soon. Whether you want to stand, whether you want to sit, whether you want to kneel, whether you want to journal, whether you want to read scripture, I'm just praying that yokes would be lifted off right now in Jesus' name. Because God wants to free us. But he's not freeing us into a resort lifestyle or something like that. He's freeing us into service to him, where ultimately we experience life that is truly life, where we become fully alive in him. So would you just embrace that call of God? Maybe all your life you thought that would be burdensome, but now this morning you hear the words of Jesus saying, my burden's light. You can trust me. You can come to me. Maybe even for the first time. If this song helps you articulate that, that's fine, but let's just spend a few minutes in the Lord's presence, taking those yokes off, putting on the yoke of Jesus.